In Paris today, authorities now say more than half a dozen suspects are in custody and at least two are dead after police raided an apartment linked to last Friday's terror attacks. Also today, an ISIS propaganda magazine published a photo of a purported bomb they say crashed a Russian airliner. Russia says an explosive brought down that plane, but the photo hasn't been authenticated. As authorities try to solve both cases, there are questions about whether the right kind of intelligence could have prevented these attacks and others. We don't have the answers yet, but there's an approach you may not have heard of that's being used by the CIA, police, even companies, to assess their own weaknesses and be prepared for unexpected threats. Mike Azenko writes about it in his new book, Red Team, How to Succeed by Thinking Like the Enemy. Mike Azenko, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much.
So you have spent years studying how intelligence analysts, the military, even corporations analyze their opponents' behavior and thinking in order to be successful and fend off attacks. You were even one of the first civilians to attend a U.S. Army program known as Red Team University. So from all of that knowledge, do you think the Paris rampage could have been predicted and prevented?
Well, there's one question of whether or not the information was in the system, meaning that there was intelligence collected and translated and went to the right people to act upon it. That's one question. The other is whether or not that signal could be analytically determined to be there was an actual attack at this actual time. That's one thing that the intelligence community does really, really well. But the other question is whether or not we had conceived of this sort of attack. Mm. My suspicion is that the intelligence and police and law enforcement officials in Paris have. They did actually think through these sorts of scenarios, but they clearly were not sufficiently prepared, either through crisis simulations or contingency planning, to have the personnel in place to prevent this once it broke out.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they were doing what you say they should have been doing, red teaming it, are whether it's, you know, French or American, are intelligence and military officials, homeland security type authorities doing this kind of red teaming? Are they thinking like the enemy and has it helped?
It has. And one of the groups that I feature that is as good at this as anybody I came across is the New York Police Department. Hmm. They do what are called commissioner tabletop exercises. These are every senior two-star commander. These are the local commanders of the boroughs of Manhattan and the surrounding areas. These are all the senior NYC officials. Even the commissioner attends, as well as the mayor has attended a number of these. And very interestingly, after 2008, after the attacks in Mumbai, very similar to Paris,
Over the course of 4 days, they killed more than 150 people in India's major financial capital.
Right. And soon after that, the NYPD looked at that and they said, Mumbai, one, physically looks sort of like Manhattan. And this is a scenario that we hadn't thought through. So what they do is they make people come into a room. It's about 40 or 50. And I was fortunate to attend a couple of these. And then they go through a scenario like Mumbai, where the participants do not know what it will be. So there's a number of very interesting surprises. Like, for example, what happened if you lost all of your communication? What happened if there was several teams taking hostages at several major luxury hotels? Where would you expend your resources? And through the course of the Mumbai scenario in 2008, they learned that NYPD was significantly underprepared for this. Specifically, they did not have enough people trained in long guns to counterattack teams that were holding multiple hostages in multiple locations. Because in the course of 4 days, you would just run out of people. They would become tired. You have to replace them. So they trained more people on how to do it, a lot more. And then secondly, they stashed more long guns all over the areas where these attacks could potentially occur. And it was only because of the red team simulation that they identified these vulnerabilities.
Hmm. Well, some of this sounds like classic disaster preparedness, but red teaming is actually something else. Tell us exactly how you learned to do it and how do you do it? How is it different from disaster preparedness?
The theme of the book is you can't grade your own homework. So there's an assumption whether you're an individual or an organization, you cannot identify the problems with your plans or strategies. You will not question your assumptions and you will not think like the adversary does. So you hire people to try to break into your computer networks, to try to break into your buildings, to identify what's wrong, not to embarrass or humiliate, but to show very clearly and easily how it could be done and what steps you need to protect yourself. The second type of red teaming are simulations like these I pointed out with the NYPD. Military does these all the time as well before the Osama bin Laden raid. Very famously, the Navy SEALs who went in and did the raid, they practiced 1,000 different times just to do what they call a pre-mortem analysis to identify everything that could potentially go wrong. So when a helicopter crashed inside the compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan, they were completely prepared for it. Mm-hmm. And they were They were not fazed at all.
They had practiced.
They had practiced many times for these exact type of things. Famously, in April 1980, if you recall, when Jimmy Carter authorized special operators to try to save U.S. hostages in Iran, they had not done these sorts of exercises. And they had not really pressure tested their plan. And the final type of red teaming is alternative analysis. And 2 days after 9/11, George Tenet called two of his most senior
analysts. The CIA director at the time.
Yeah, and he said, I want you to hire people who do not have to coordinate their products with anyone else, do not have to get them signed off by senior leaders.
And by products, you mean analysis.
Analysis, like memos, short three-page memos. You can go after your own subjects. And he said, I want you to piss us off and make seniors feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. That was the specific language he used. And the Red Cell, which to this day still exists, it's 12 people. They do out-of-the-box, really off-the-wall critical thinking that is very different than everything else. And this is sent right to the White House. This is sent right to the Pentagon. People are really attracted to it because it's different.
I actually want to ask you about that because it's one thing to do the analysis. It's another thing to get people in charge to listen to it. You have examples in your book where red teams did their job, but were completely ignored. For example, there were numerous warnings about airport security before 9/11 that nobody paid attention to, right?
Yeah, one of the most tragic stories in the book is of what was called the FAA Red Team. This was set up after the Lockerbie Scotland bombing.
So the Federal Aviation Administration.
This is the federal agency in charge of administering and making sure that the commercial airline industry was up to a certain level of security. And so this was a handful of people who routinely tried to smuggle weapons and explosives through screeners into luggage and onto planes. They tried to get to restricted areas. They tried to get onto planes themselves physically. And the problem was they were really good at it. They uncovered vulnerabilities, and they didn't do a lot of advanced surveillance. These guys really weren't rappelling in from the roof. They were just trying to do things to see how far they could get. They documented what they had done very routinely. They then reported it up the chain of command. And then not much was done with it. The FAA could then go to the commercial airline or the airport itself, and they would either give them a letter of correction or they would impose a small fine. And after a series of arbitration, that fine was actually reduced. So these guys kept finding clear vulnerabilities in airline security up to a couple months before 9/11 at Logan International Airport. They did this for a local Fox TV affiliate.
Right here in Boston.
Right here in Boston. One of the terminals that the planes used in 9/11 went from, and they smuggled a restricted contraband through very routinely. And the Fox affiliate documented this. All of this was sent down to the Department of Transportation. This was actually sent to Senator John Kerry's office specifically, and nobody knows what was done with it. Tragically, after 9/11, the head of the FAA Red Team, Bogdan Zakovic, filed a federal whistleblower complaint, which he won. And he demonstrated that there was a gross misuse of public funds that led to a clear and specific threat to public safety. But by that time, it was too late.
You also write in your book about computer hacking. What does red teaming tell us about that?
This is when you hire a group of what are called ethical or white hat hackers. These are people hired to identify vulnerabilities in your computer network or when you have a new piece of software that's coming out or with your phone. And they basically never fail. So they come in and they, through really routine practices like phishing examples where people unknowingly click on links in corrupted emails, or it turns out your IT administrators probably have bad or weak passwords, or they have default passwords often, or your network is configured in such a way that you have more open IP addresses to the internet that you know about, so your attack surface is bigger than you think. So these people are hired and
they can always get in.
They never fail to get in. And in cases, you know, it's very interesting. One of the cases I document was where there was a very good IT security and they had trouble getting in to the computer network, but they found out they could get into the security cameras. And so what they did is they broke into the security cameras and then from a distance redirected the security cameras so they were looking over people's shoulders as they entered their password.
Wow.
They call this shoulder surfing. And they saw people entering their password in the computer. And once they had that, they were able to break in pretty routinely. They then take screenshots of what they've done. They might even, to make it very vivid, break into the CEO's desktop and, you know, replace pictures of their family with something else to say, you are not safe. And then they have a series of prioritize remediative steps to improve their IT security. But on their own, the IT staff will never identify these problems. Again, you cannot grade
They
your
may
own
not
homework.
Even be aware of it.
They almost are never aware of them.
All right. Very interesting. Hopefully it'll be used more and more widely. Mike Azenko's new book is Red Team, How to Succeed by Thinking Like the Enemy. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much.